Hey, what's going on, family? This is your boy, Brother Technico, coming at you with another episode. A lot to unpack today. A lot has happened this week. So much. But let's start off with what's the hottest topic right now, which is, of course, Ye. Now, myself personally, let me just go ahead and say this. I don't feel that Kanye is this anti-Semitic or most vile dude that the media and the government, because Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders has even got on their platforms and want to condemn him as vile and all these other sorts of things. I don't feel that way towards him. My biggest issue with Ye is the fact that he's willing to not only associate with known white nationalists, but he's also willing to use some of their talking points. And I don't feel like I should have to wait around for him to condemn black people specifically, or even condemn reparations, when he's done so many other things or said so many different things that are close enough. When you deny our history by saying slavery for 400 years sounds like a choice, when you start to say things that George Floyd wasn't killed by Derek Chauvin, he was killed by drugs, those are the kind of things that indirectly sort of attack us. So that's my issue with Ye. My issue with Ye is his affiliations and what he's willing to do. And I don't feel like he's doing this necessarily purposely. Like, I definitely feel like he's doing it with his own agenda. I think he's doing it for himself. However, and I do believe that he's pandering to white supremacy, to white nationalists. I do believe that. However, I don't believe that he's any of those things that, again, the government and the media are trying to make him out to be. With that being said, there is definitely a better way that he could have made that point. He didn't have to use Hitler. I think that anyone understanding the situation, understanding the platform that he's on, he could have made some better, could have made some better points. He could have used another example. Now, that was the example that he chose, and that's on him, and he has to deal with the repercussions of that example. Okay. Again, that doesn't make him anti-Semitic. It was never right for the banks to close out his accounts. It was never right for his account on Twitter to be banned when they just brought back people who have literally Nazi media platforms. And they go hard at this. And you still have a lot of white nationalists that are known white nationalists who post all different kinds of types of disrespectful, degrading things about black people on the platform. And yet these people are still there. And I've tried to report some of these people. I've tried to report Jim Goad. Now, y'all don't know who he is, but that's a big time writer for these white nationalists. And he likes to post little videos of black people not in their best and little satirical things. He's also written articles talking about black excellence and crime. This is the type of person that they have on their platform, and yet it's Ye that's targeted. So two things can be true at the same time. You know, I cannot agree with what Ye is doing. Because I truly don't see, and I'm gonna deal with Alex Jones in just a bit, but I don't see what the big overall point is for him to say some of those things that he was saying. Sounded a bit jumble and contradicting from my perspective. But yeah, I definitely question the type of company that he's keeping. And for a lot of black people who are supporting him, you know, for every good thing, quote unquote, you know, good or statement that he makes, let's not forget that he makes a bunch of other statements that are completely indefensible because they go against black people. And I don't really, I can't really care for a guy who likes to, you know, straddle the fence, who likes to be ambivalent and, you know, one day he's over here, next day he's over here, like, pick a side. This is the time, and I've said this continuously, family, this is the time where you have to choose a side. You cannot straddle the fence. Now let's deal with Alex Jones, because he needs to be dealt with. Because what he did and how Ye is being used, whether he realizes it or not, he's being used to drive a narrative about black people. Now, should I give a damn about what he said on that platform? No, because, I mean, and I'm talking about Ye, because no, he doesn't represent, you know, black people or black thought. But to bring Ye on there, to allow him to say some of these things, some of these very, and I'm going to put it lightly, some of these polarizing things, to then go and start bashing reparations and then try to make the argument that he feels that it's wrong, like for some Polish immigrant who quote unquote had no relationship with slavery to come over here and have to pay, was one of the weakest, sickest, and most deplorable arguments I've ever heard regarding reparations. Number one, if you're an immigrant coming to this country, you're benefiting from the plain blood, sweat, and tears of our ancestors, black ancestors in this country. You are benefiting from the country we built. So if you came over here as an immigrant and you started making your money, well, guess what? You're able to do so because of what we provided this country. So in that way, yeah, you absolutely owe some money. But let me take it a step further. When it comes to the Afghans who came over here and the United States gave them some money, when it comes to the Ukrainians and literally every other group that comes here and they're able to receive not only money, but benefits such as housing and jobs. Afghans were offered jobs by the likes of Amazon and Facebook, Uber, etc., etc. We didn't do that to them. We didn't harm any Afghanistans. Why do we have to pay our tax dollars for something that didn't even happen on this soil? Moreover, while we're on the subject, because the subject of anti-Semitism has just been so prevalent lately, the Holocaust happened in Germany. Why do we have to answer for what someone else did? The U.S. government every year gives the Jewish community some money. The white Jewish community. Because if you black and you and you're Jewish or you Hebrew, you don't get those benefits. So we know that these are benefits that are set for white Jewish people. But again, that did not occur here. So why does the United States feel the need to give them any money? See, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that it's wrong when we're demanding it, but then overlook it or justify it when it happens for people that looks like you or people who are going to come to this country and then identify as white people. That is inappropriate and that is wrong. Going deeper into this, while we're talking about reparations and who was done what, just because you owe somebody some money and never paid, guess what? You still owe the money. Some people feel like it's not right for the descendants of the people, even though you guys benefit, and it wasn't that damn long ago for a lot of those people. Like, let's not forget that contract leasing and peonage didn't end until the 1940s. But just because you incur a debt, guess what? Or your family members incur in debt, that debt still needs to be paid. How many of us are familiar with debt that our parents have left behind? You still owe the money. So you can't just deny paying black people, FBA, what they're owed simply because you didn't do it. Where the hell does that work? You owed us some money. Owed. Because it ain't a gift. This is our due, what is due to us. You can't owe us money and then decide not to pay and like that bill doesn't go away. And that doesn't work in this country. When you owe money in this country, when you owe anyone some money in this country, not only do you still have to pay, after a certain amount of time, that accrues interest. And since we're talking about labor, we're not even dealing with the dehumanizing aspect. We're not talking about the psychological, physical, and mental damage that was done to us. We're not even talking about that. We're just simply talking about the labor at this moment. When you're dealing with a job and a job doesn't pay you what you're owed, every day past a certain date, depending on what state that you're in, it accrues interest. So not only do they have to pay what was owed, they have to throw some interest on top of it for every day that you were not paid. So let's deal with that. That's too much hypocrisy in this country. That's too much BS. And Alex Jones should not be, he needs to be held to the fire for that ridiculous ass comment. That shit was wrong. And furthermore, and this is the other part that has me disgusted and questioning Ye. Why didn't you check that? Why didn't you say anything about that? What is your stance on that? See, Alex Jones and Ye are two different things. Alex Jones, I feel, is far more vile. Far more vile, and he has far more influence than Ye has. Ye has fame based on his music, but we see how little that means to this society. Where is Alex Jones' bank accounts being frozen? Don't worry, I'll wait. How about anyone else who espouses or spews true anti-Semitic rhetoric? Nothing like that happens to them. My issue with Ye is, why are you associating with people that are like that? And it's more than a Democrat-Republican thing. See, I don't have an issue with folks that are conservative or quote-unquote liberal or Democrat-Republican or whatever may have you. That's your personal preference. That has nothing to do with racism, has nothing to do with the evils that go on in this country. However, we know that there's a group of people who are openly anti-black. And he chooses to associate with those folks, whether it's a Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, Alex Jones. I seriously question the company that he's keeping. I not only question it, I question his intentions behind a lot of the things that he's doing. No, no, I just went back to Ye, but that's something that needs to be, because I overstand the point that was made, or the point that should be dealt with, that what Alex Jones said. What I need the family to understand is that Kanye, in that sense, in that particular moment, was being used so that we could be attacked. Sometimes they just want to have a black face around so they can do some race, so they can say and do some racist ass shit. I have a problem with people like us, people who are supposedly black like myself, who come from the same ancestry as myself, turning a blind eye and not commenting on that. Now, a lot of people over social media have been coming up with different defenses. They've been defending that Star of David / swastika that he put up there. Family, that was tasteless. This is a dude who's claimed that he don't even read. He doesn't even deal with history. And a lot of the comments that he's made over the last few years certainly indicates that he doesn't deal with the history at all. Okay. I have a serious problem with people trying to bring up. We all know that not only is that symbol found in India, but that symbol is also found in Kemet. That symbol is originally about four elements. So I understand that there's a historical context to it. However, when you're hanging out with white nationalists, you don't deal with the history, and then you post something like that. And I feel like something like that was just more silly. Like, I don't feel like that was super vile or evil. I just felt like that was just some silly, random shit that he decided to do. Maybe he thought it was clever, smart, or cute, and he did it. We've seen other things like that. They just didn't come from a yay. However, the need for us to go and defend that or put words in his mouth about why he did that. No, let that be. He's a grown ass man. Let him speak for himself. We don't need to defend everything that he does. Ye does not speak for us. Maybe he speaks for you, and that's a totally different thing. Maybe his views match your views. Not sure why, but hey, it is what it is. But since this whole situation, actually, even before this whole situation started, even when he made that erroneous statement that slavery for 400 years was a choice, you same Negroes were going out and defending that. Hold on a minute. Maybe he has a point. No, he doesn't. I got a great book for anyone who thinks that slavery was a choice. And there's many, many books. But the book that I oftentimes recommend is Hubert Apthecker's 250 Slave Revolts, which is now just called Slave Revolts if you buy it now. But the book's been out for a very, very long time, over 100 years at this point, I believe. So, and that's 250 slave revolts happening in this country. It's not talking about the totality of transatlantic slavery. So don't tell me slavery was a choice when we fought and we fought and we fought and we're still fighting. You see, for me, I don't forget. It's not about what you did yet. See, that's a problem with this culture that we have now. We're too instant gratification and we're too quick to forget what some people said not that long ago. I can't get on with that. And I've tried to. Family, I remember a friend of mine sent me a video of Ye. And it was he was him at like a little seminar or whatnot. He was around a few other celebrities and they were talking about different things that they could do with their money, building communities and things of that nature. And in that moment, I tried to give him a chance. I tried to look at some of his comments and some of the things that he was saying and maybe put it in the perspective that maybe his message or the things that he's saying is not to like your regular black people, but maybe he's trying to talk to other celebrities like himself. And then this whole last year happens. The different things that he's been doing. White Lives Matter. Really? George Floyd wasn't killed by Derek Chauvin, even though that's on film. Are you kidding me? Family, you guys can go and support him if you want to. And here's my thing. I'm not going to vilify him. He is not an anti-Semist. He's not the most racist. First of all, you can't even be racist. It's already been demonstrated the lack of power that he actually has. And racism is nothing without power. But I don't even believe that he's a prejudiced person. I simply believe that he's just a foolish person. A foolish and a selfish person. A person that only thinks of himself first. And I don't think that's inconsistent from who he's been since he's been born. He was selfish even before his mama passed away. It's what it is. And people can have their own opinions about this. I know people who've met him and dealt with him personally, and that's pretty much what's been relayed back to me, and it's fairly evident as far as I'm concerned. So that's that. You guys can choose to deal with that if you want to, but the historical record is very, very clear, and I do understand that he's gone through some things that I wouldn't wish on anyone. A lot of things I wouldn't wish on anyone. I don't believe that man is truly healthy. And it's so crazy to me that this society can accept someone like a Chad Wheeler who beats the brakes off of a sister to the point where she needs reconstructive surgery. But mental illness is applicable in his case. Ye is going out and just saying things. He's not doing anything to anybody. He's not harming anybody. He's not going out there shooting up any synagogues. He's not going out there saying, Jews, you will not replace us. He did call out Jews that are rich and that are in the music industry that we have historically have had issues with. He's called them out. I wouldn't have called them out the way that he would have done it. I thought how he did it was reckless. You guys can have your own opinion on that, right? But that doesn't make him an anti-Semite. That doesn't make it okay for people to bash him the way that they're bashing him. See, two things can always be true at the same time. And as it pertains to Ye, he's not any of those criminal things. You can accuse him of being a fool, but you can't accuse him of being a criminal. That's vile. That's what's truly vile. And for people like Kamala Harris, you have an anti-black record in Oakland. Let's not forget you denying DNA evidence that could have saved a black man's life when you were district attorney. I'm not even going to talk about the bed hopping you were doing that everybody knows about. And as far as this Indian thing, family, I've been telling you guys this for a long time. Don't nobody in the town even, she wasn't talking that kind of talk until very recently. But Kamala, we know about you. You think I'm just going to sit here and do something just for black people? Oh, I never thought that for a second. Let's go on to something else because I don't really want to stick on this topic too long. But there's a lot of people out there, Bernie Sanders and all these folks. You guys make me sick. Yeah, let me go on to something else. So staying on the political side, I want to talk about Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries just ran for office and he got in there. Unopposed. NY. Unopposed. He's in Congress. Unopposed. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is support for Israelis. You see, sometimes we have to remember or keep this in mind. The media likes to sensationalize and draw attention to certain things, particularly when they're about to do some fucking. They're about to fuck a lot of people over. They want us distracted. They want us looking over here. I'm not going to ignore the bloodthirsty criminals that is the Israeli government. And I mean that. What they're doing in Palestine is not okay. And how they're treating the black people in Israel, even less than okay. All of that shit is criminal. And the United States have already proven themselves to be one of the biggest hypocrites in terms of standing up for the justice of people and all this other kind of crap. And when you go around the world, don't nobody look at the United States like that as no heroes, except for people inside the United States. Now, back on Hakeem Jeffries, the reason I have such an issue with this is because when people get to run unopposed, that means that the white man gets to have their person. They get to have their guy in there that's going to help them out, help further their initiatives. This is the same thing that's holding the motherland down right now when former UN representative Chimbori Adekana came out here and she was talking about this document called the Pact for the Continuation of Colonialization. And she was talking about, and she actually, she ended up running for an office in her home country. And the reason why she said she was running because she said we cannot allow offices to run unopposed. Because when that happens, that's when the corruption starts. See, that sort of thing is universal. And when we look at certain situations, we can understand how this society has been able to maintain their power. They keep the right people in charge. So when I saw that Hakeem Jeffries got in unopposed, I was already ready for the foolishness. I was. Because what would be his motivation to not only to, well, yeah, what would be his motivation to do right by black people when black people didn't get him in there, when black people aren't his friends? And he didn't even need us to get in there because, once again, he was unopposed. At some point, we're going to have to stop accepting a black face as the it. Like, oh, yeah, we got a black person in there. Oh, well, what do they stand for? Are we going to forget that we had black overseers? Are we going to forget that we had black collaborators? As much as we like to focus on the non-FBA, there's plenty of FBA coons in this society ready to stand in line and do whatever's necessary for a crumb of that butter biscuit. So for me, I don't look at the color of somebody's hair. There's a lot of black-looking people out there. A lot of black-looking people. They shouldn't just get our support automatically simply because they're black. We should definitely take a look at them. We should definitely observe and see what it is that they stand for. But simply by being black, that can't be it. How is that any different from Biden coming to us and saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black? Sure, there might be a few differences in there. But the overall point is this whole idea of blackness and having to do certain things being black. No, not when you don't support us. No. So there's that. Let me deal with somebody else from New York. Mayor Adams. Mayor Adams just signed what I believe is a death warrant for a lot of people out there in New York by allowing folks that are seen to be quote unquote mentally ill or homeless. They get to be admitted into one of those. And I don't have the term for that house, but I'm gonna call it a crazy house because that's what it is. All they do is produce crazy people. The fact that they're allowing our freedoms to be stepped on like that, it's inexcusable. Inexcusable. But this is no different than the city of Detroit. Once again, they love to elevate certain black people to certain levels of power, you know, particularly so they can get our support to get in there. Once they get in there, they start doing all that vile, heinous crap. And the other reason why it's heinous is not just heinous because, well, first of all, we know that they're going to target a lot of our people with that. And it's so ambiguous what the qualifications are or what's going to be, because it's being left to someone else's interpretation. There doesn't seem to be a very clear understanding on what do you mean by mentally ill? What do you mean? What's wrong with them so they can't take care of themselves? Shit, I could tell you what's wrong with them, why they can't take care of themselves. Shit, they ain't got no money. New York is one of the toughest places, most expensive places to live. And you want to cry about homelessness? Why don't you cry about getting some more jobs? Why don't you cry about getting some more housing and stop giving housing to immigrants? We have so many homeless people on the streets here. Black people, stop letting them Jedi mind trick you and thinking that that shit is somehow hateful when you say that you don't want immigrants from the other country to get benefits over citizens. Shit, you can't go to Japan and just reap all the benefits of being Japanese. There's stores that you can't even go to if you're not a Japanese citizen. They won't serve you. Because they want to make sure that their people get to have something. They don't want a situation to where their people have to struggle and fight for basic needs and necessities. What kind of society is that? And even more criminal than that, because this whole thing, everything about the pandemic, which we were starting to find out, which we should have already known, was full of shit. We're starting to find out that this is nothing but a money grab. I say it's a money grab because pharmaceuticals are the biggest companies in this country right now. When you want to talk about the top Fortune 100 companies that this United States has worldwide, the biggest ones are medical corporations, either pharmaceuticals or medical insurance. So for New York to do something like that, you are putting money into big pharma's pockets. Shameful. It's shameful. Put money in big pharma's pockets while you're ostensibly claiming that you want to help people. You want to help people. Put their asses to work, but pay them something they can live off of. Why don't you try increasing the minimum wage? People should not have to spend over 80% or sometimes two checks, most of the time two checks, to pay their goddamn rent. Why don't you work on making this land more livable, more feasible to live in? Then you wouldn't deal with so many homeless. And I can speak to that. I live in California. Shit, in Oakland right now, what used to be the projects, they got rent that's as high as $3,000. Gentrification is real, family. We need to have some sort of rent control. And we need to have a minimum wage that allows you to live. But none of these things they want to talk about. They want to do everything else. And when you delve deep into what it is that they're doing, all they're truly doing is fattening their own pockets and leaving the rest of the world to suffer. That's Western society one-on-one. And I challenge anyone to show me a European Western society that has not functioned like that. So there's some very criminal things happening. There's some very dubious things happening. It's shameful that we have, but that's always been the case. We've always had people that are willing to capitulate with white society in order to elevate them, their own individual needs. And as it pertains to people like Hakeem Jeffries or Mayor Adams, I forget whatever the other part of his name is, those are the people that are the most vile. They are criminals, not Kanye. Or Ye, excuse me. We have to put things in their proper place. Let's go on to something else. Another thing I want to talk about. I talked about this a bit on social media. No, we're not going to deal with that, but I'm going to talk about reparations in general and lineage-based reparations and a lot of conversations involving reparations. You know, we're living in a time where they're constantly trying to redefine what reparations mean for black people. For everyone else, reparations has been cash money. Am I lying? Now, all of a sudden, they're trying to give some social services here or this over here and all this other kind of stuff. And most of the things that they recommend are things that everyone can participate in. If it's lineage-based reparations, if it's reparations based on the crimes that were committed against the descendants of this country, the FBA, African-American descendants of this country, then that doesn't involve everyone. Otherwise, that's not reparations. There's even been a form of reparations that they were talking about that, and it may have been in California. Although we have a whole nother initiative that's powered by black folks in California in terms of reparations. But they've had talks about reparations, saying that Native Americans could qualify and some white people can qualify. That ain't reparations. Just because they use the word, that don't mean that that is what it is. And what the hell are you going to get? Native Americans were already given something. Unless you're going to be giving money to black Native Americans who were denied even the benefits that were supposed to be, that was supposed to be given to them, that the other passing Native Americans were able to get, then I'm cool with that. But Native Americans owe us something too. Not only because they had slaves and were brutal, but they denied a lot of black people, black Native Americans, their due by allowing them to be categorized as black so they can hoard more of the benefits. And because there was already a hatred brewing between them and those black Native folks. And there's reasons for this. There's a lot of documents to it. One of the reasons, and I'll talk about it right here, is that at some point there were a lot of tribes that amalgamated with white folks. Powerful white folks loved to insert themselves into Native tribes. They did it in Hawaii. Okay, they did it over here. They did it in Central and South America. It is what they do. All right. And after they get these offspring, they raise these offspring in their image. Yeah. So for me, no Native American touched none of this money. They got enough money. They got enough stuff. They're good. It's for us, FBA. Descendants of those who dealt with the horrors of slavery. And slavery wasn't just work. There was a lot of things, a lot of components to it. The rape component, the breeding component, how we were lynched, dehumanized, how they mutilated our bodies. How they feasted upon us. How many of us know that there was a point in this country where people were worried about the United States turning into a cannibal country? You guys weren't aware of that, were you? Yeah. It's a lot of wicked things that's involved with this country. A lot of things that they have yet to pay for. So we're not going to allow them to redefine what reparations mean for us. No, it's going to mean what it's always meant. But we know why they don't want to give us reparations. Give us what we're owed. Let me just stop, because when you say give, it makes it sound like it's a gift, and it ain't a gift. It's what we're owed. We know why. And we can sit out here, family, and we can talk about how us receiving reparations could actually benefit the economy. And it's true. It can benefit this country in so many different ways. But they're not interested in the survival of this country or the overall benefit of this country. When they sent all those millions of dollars after that second stimulus check and they start sending all this money overseas and other stuff like that, they told you they don't give a damn what happens to this country. They will spite themselves just to maintain control over us. That's what it's all about, family. Money may be very, very high on their list, but even higher than that is control. It's control that defines power for them. Why do you think this country hasn't given a damn about all the debt that it's in? They don't give a damn. As long as they feel like they have the power over other people, they don't give a damn. They owe them $1 trillion, $100 trillion. It doesn't matter. Because in their mind, power, control is power. You got to come to me. I owe you money because you need me. Family. We going to have to. Because I feel like a lot of us do realize this. Like, I think it is kind of. We're far removed from what we got to do. Because a lot of us know what we have to do. But I'm going to keep talking about what this country is trying to do to spite us. and the different devices that they're using. Right now, they're trying to use every device they have in the playbook against us right now. Literally all of them. Because we have been one of the strongest voices in this country since its inception. So, last thing I'm going to touch on. And I told you guys I was going to wait on this. I was going to wait to see what Elon Musk was all about. Talking about free speech. Another point that was brought up on Alex Jones. See, we got to be really, really careful with how these people start talking about free speech and what free speech means to them as opposed to what free speech means to us. You see, when you have the statistics that anti-black hatred has increased 202% over Twitter since Elon has taken over, it shows you what kind of freedom of speech is permissible. When you talk about Alex Jones, we start to understand what kind of freedom of speech that he believes is permissible. Anti-black rhetoric. You know, which, like I said before, I like it when they speak their minds like that. You know, because it's not like he went out there and he started saying something that was incredibly abrasive. But we need to know what these people really think. I'm glad that he let us know what he really felt and what he thought. But let's understand that's what they mean by free speech. Free speech is tied into let's make America great again, where white people can speak their minds and say what they want to say because they feel like they have been stifled. That's how Trump got all that support. A lot of that stuff was, what did they call themselves? They called themselves the silent majority. Sounds really close to the invisible empire, don't it? But that's what they called themselves, the silent majority, meaning that they weren't speaking out loud what they truly felt, but they all feel that way. And they all feel like they can't express how they really feel. And I want them to express how they really feel so we can stop living with this illusion about who these people are. We like to talk about, oh, yeah, there's only half of them are feeling. No, it's more than half. There's half of them that are willing to let you know where they stand. But then you got the other 38% that are quiet in what they do, quiet in what they feel, that'll smile in front of your face. And then once you out the door, they go back to doing and saying a lot of the things that they say, or even worse, go about the business of silently attacking black communities and black society. No, family. Trust me, if half of the asses were on our side, we would have been got reparations. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? If we had half of the white people, anyway, this is about Elon Musk. So Elon Musk, looking over the weeks and seeing how you still have to be careful about how you post certain things. And we saw, like I said already, Kanye West's account has been suspended from Twitter. And yet they allow or they reinstate white supremacist, white nationalist accounts and allow them to get back onto the platform. Let's not forget that Balenciaga left Twitter. They weren't suspended from Twitter for being involved with pedophilia. So I'm understanding what this is all about. See, that's why I don't try to overreact. A lot of the times I don't choose to speak on things until I feel like I've had enough information. But I feel like we have enough information about however long it's been since Elon has taken over Twitter to see what Twitter is truly all about. Or what the free speech is really all about. And I'm with a lot of black folks. Let's get rid of, ban people who use the N-word. There's no point in using that word online any damn way. And we need to set some sort of principles and standards. There's nothing really cool about the word. We never reclaim the word anyway. The word still retains just as much, if not more, negative connotation than it did all back then. When we use it, it's rarely ever positive. And a few examples that we can give of it being positive don't overshadow all of the cases when we use it when it's negative. And I don't like opening up the door for other people to use it. Give a damn if it's in a song or not. Hell, there's a lot of things that are in a song that I'm not going to say. If it's inappropriate. And where I am in life, I don't use the N-word like that. I've had a history of using it for sure. For sure, grew up in it. Shit, town business. Y'all know what the deal is. Shit, we know what the real is like. But at the same time, as I've gotten older, that word is hardly a part of my vocabulary. Especially when I'm speaking amongst my friends. Like, my circle's so small now. That word is rarely ever used. So we shouldn't allow it online. And at the other point I'm going to make is that at some point we need to draw a line somewhere. Hey, it can be something that we can use amongst ourselves, but we don't need to open up the door, leave the door open, because the door has already been open, for them to be able to use the word on whatever platform. Well, we have Twitter allowing people to post pictures, like this white dude had a picture talking about, he got a nigga on his shirt, and he says, my shirt is allowed to say this because my shirt is black, because he had a black t-shirt on. And nigga, it's all the same thing. There is no difference. We also have to remember that the widespread use and promotion of that word was not done by our people. It was done by the same music industry that Ye and so many others called out. Although when I look at when Ye does it, I'm just like, you didn't do anything sensational. But, you know, it's a fact. It's true. You know, I don't have to agree with everything someone says, but you know, dead clock is right twice a day. But more to that point, the word existed in our culture, it existed in our communities, but it was never proliferated like that. It was never proliferated until them people got in control of the music and promoted. We know what it is. They promoted NWA and all this other stuff. And when you look at it objectively, we understand that this would never be an issue today had it not been for those music industries promoting the word. Oh, you can blame NWA, but they didn't have to promote that. They didn't have to sponsor that, facilitate that. If it was wrong, they'd be like, no, we're not going to do that. You may have a point, make a different point. They do it with everything else. Anything else that they deem offensive, they come after you. Let's not forget what they did to the baby, even though, what did the baby say that was so egregious? Yeah, a lot of y'all need to stop going. Yeah, a lot of y'all need to stop going back there, trying to be hard, trying to be this, trying to be that, talk all this Genghis mess, and y'all go in the back and y'all sucking each other's dick. What's wrong with that? He's talking about some real shit that happens. But let's not forget how they came after Cat Williams after he made that joke about Professor Ogilvy. And the other different things that happen in Hollywood. Let's not forget what happened to Pimp C after he started talking about the things that happen in Hollywood. We know that Tupac talked about it. Him, Tupac talking about that situation, plus he and Biggie trying to take control of distribution. Back to that control. Yeah, we know what this is. We know what this is. It's time for us to truly take control of our own communities. It's time for us to stop letting them dictate what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Because when we leave it up to them, I think we can see what they feel is appropriate for black people. And I'm not with any of it. So with that being said, family, peace, love, and light. Enjoy your weekend. Yeah, and that's it. Check out.